listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. To read from God's holy word today as we find it in Romans chapter 5, part of Paul's letter to the church at Rome, varied in many different doctrines, and especially that wonderful message of the gospel that we read last week from the third chapter, the last part of it, and here that message of the gospel applied as we begin in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, sin, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come. But not as the offense, so was also the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of this, that we will believe it both in repentance toward God, being humbled before Him, and faith in Christ, being lifted up through Christ, received as children by God. Our Father, we give thanks for these words. We give thanks for this message. We give thanks for the promise of it as soon as Adam sinned. We give thanks for the promise of it to Noah, to Abraham, to others of the saints and others of the prophets that brought that message. We think of Isaiah bringing it to us so wonderfully by prophecy, speaking of a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, thinking of what his name shall be called, thinking of what thou wilt do in him, even laying on him the iniquity of us all. We pray, Father, now in His name, that the Holy Spirit might come and teach us from the Word, and by the Word, that that Word may be made effectual. And through the Word, Father, we might be saved. Not only that we will know objectively that Christ has died for sinners, for the ungodly, but that we might know that we, as sinners, as the ungodly, can be, and above all, are justified with Paul and with others, that we can say with him, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with thee, Father, through Christ. We pray that that message might be preached to every creature. We pray that it might be preached in power. We pray that it might be remembered, that we do not move from it, even as some of the churches are taken to task by thee, by Paul, by thee, Lord Jesus. And we pray and plead that we might examine ourselves whether or not we have come to that right place, whether or not we have continued in it, if we have come. And we pray, Father, the church might be strengthened, that is the true church, and revived. We pray that many might be added to it. Also, we give thanks, Father, for the blessings in nature, the blessings of food and raiment, homes. We pray for those who do not have these blessings and are suffering even now. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray, Father, for those in troubled homes. We pray for the elderly. We pray for those in lonesomeness. We ask, Father, for thy blessing on every need, but above all, that many might be made to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness with the promise that all these things will be added through Christ. Amen. Looking at this fifth chapter, we have either looked at some of the earlier chapters or mentioned them. The first chapter of Paul's letter to the Rome, describing that church, and then describing the world in general, and the awfulness of that world being given over to a reprobate mind. Also Paul declaring that the God by nature, by power, by wisdom, is revealed in nature, and all of mankind has no excuse, that all these things are clearly seen, God's eternal power and His Godhead. And that Paul then declares that when they knew God, They knew that much of God, what nature tells us. The heavens declare the glory of God. That they weren't thankful and became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. That's where we are today in our nation. And I'm afraid much of the world as well. That's where we are in much of our schooling. We deny the Creator. We deny what we can see in nature. And sadly, we even deny what we read in God's holy word. We read in the last part of what we read from Romans chapter 5 about Adam. And some do not want to believe that Adam was actually created as a man by God. And that Adam, after having been warned by God not to eat of the forbidden tree, ate of it, and it took place what God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. If that was not true, how can Paul then write to the New Testament church and say that death reigned, in the 14th verse, from Adam to Moses? Or in the 12th verse, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I'm afraid many do deny what is called original sin, and do not recognize it. Paul did, by the inspiration of God, by God teaching him personally, and teaching him as well to write to this New Testament church at Rome, and us as well. As we mentioned before, in the second chapter, he writes primarily to the Jews, and that would include us today that are in the church, those that have the Word of God, those that think we can teach others. And as Paul says, teachest not thou thyself, teacher of babes, think we know the law of God, think we can tell others what to do and what not to do. Do we know it in the church? I attended a conference last week, and it was mainly on Christian living. That was the title. And one of the pastors that spoke about God giving to us, that we might have these blessings, and we might then have Christian living. And one of the scriptures that he used was from Romans 4, where God speaks of Christ giving to the church, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, for the perfecting of the saints, for the upbuilding of the church, till we all come in unity. And then Paul states to that church at Ephesus that we be no longer children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And I thought, as he brought that message, he stands in the same place as Paul. When Paul said that we be no longer children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We are there today. Paul didn't say, be careful that this doesn't happen. He said rather that you be no longer children. Don't continue in that state. He had said it earlier, or along with it, to the Corinthians, are you not yet babes and carnal? And he had to say to the Ephesians, be no longer children, as well as he had to write to them and say, awake thou that sleepest. The church. Yes, do we have ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches? Not only these wonderful words that we have the beginning of being part of the body of Christ, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We should stay right there, both knowing the need of it, as it's so plainly portrayed in the first part of Romans 3, Romans 1 as well, Romans 2 also, the hypocrisy of those who know the word but don't keep it. All need to be justified by faith to bring us to peace with God, and through another, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who, as Paul states a little later here in this fifth chapter, died for such sinners that need to be justified. In verse 6, died for the ungodly. In verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That's God's description of us. Ungodly, yet sinners, enemies. Have you had that repentance that makes you acknowledge it's true of you as well as of others? I'm afraid there's many in the church say, well, if I was born in the world, then I could be like that. But we're different. I hear of preachers who have said, and I've heard it from different denominations, sadly, that when we're in the church, we want no when we're brought to peace with God. When we're reconciled, when we're converted, when we're saved. Why not? Is there less pride in the church? Is there less that has to be humbled in the church? Is there less stubbornness in the church? Are we so much different than Paul, who, when he wrote to Titus, said, we ourselves were sometimes foolish? Who is there that can't be foolish? Who became more foolish than Solomon? When God said by the pen of Moses not to have horses from Egypt, not to multiply wives, not to add to himself silver and gold, Solomon did all of that. And it was foolish. It was so foolish, so wicked, God came and said, because of his sin, he would take part of the kingdom away from his son. And he did, in the time of Rehoboam. Yes, Paul says, we ourselves were foolish, disobedient. When Solomon was reproved for it, he became angry. Some had to flee for their life to another country. Deceived. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart. Who doesn't have a heart like that? Serving divers lust and pleasures. Are people in the church not guilty of that? I've heard elders who have said how pleasures had such a hold on them they could not conquer it till they had Christ. Pleasures. Paul speaks of the last days will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I'm sure that's true in many churches where there's more excitement over the games of the week than the message of the Lord's Day. Living in malice and envy. I've seen altogether too much of that between neighbors that would go to the same church in homes, children in one home. Sometimes when parents die, children wouldn't talk to each other after that. They were angry over how the inheritance was divided. Envy. Hateful. Hating one another. Why all the divorces in the church? Hateful. Hating one another. Envy. Have strife over who's going to have the children. Try to take them away one from another. All within the church. Yes, it's in the world, but sadly, some of it's in the church as much as in the world. The church doesn't make a difference. So Christ has to die for those in the church that are ungodly. God has to commend his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, he died 1900 and some years ago, but each one of us must come to know it as for us today, that we learn for the first time in our life that Christ had to die for me. First, we have to learn it's necessary. And then we have to learn that it's a true blessing. That, as I could say shortly after the Lord saved me, now I know that Christ died for me. There's a time when we don't know it. There's a time when all we know is, as we saw from the third chapter, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Guilty. Knowing that God can give us a pardon, but not having yet received it. Like Paul said to the Galatians, shut up under the law to the faith that is afterwards revealed. And that's what Paul is referring to when he says, therefore, being justified by faith. We might like to interpret it and just say, well, that's true of all of us. We've learned it in our churches. We've learned it in our homes. We've learned it in our catechism. We've learned that it's just true of us, sinners generally. But is that all that's needed? It wasn't true for me. I learned the catechism that spoke about being just by faith. It was told by the elders, the pastor, that we were a good class. We learned the answers to the questions. We knew them in memory. We could repeat them. Many can. But often it's not anything more than a historic faith. The historic faith that the church has taught. And we read it, believe it. Israel is a good example of it. In the third chapter, we also read about Israel. What advantage then hath the Jew? Much every way to them were given the oracles of God. What if some did not believe? And Paul goes on to say, let God be true and every man a liar. Before we truly believe and love the truth, we will find ourselves liars. We're born liars. The psalmist speaks of speaking lies as soon as they were born, and that's me as well as others. And we especially believe the lie when we don't think we are sinners like others. When we think we are different. John the Baptist had to reprove his audience so strongly, say not unto yourselves, we have Abram to our father. Scribes, Pharisees, Christ said, hypocrites. John says, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? There is no escape. The wrath will come and come and come and catch us. If we haven't heard, as the song stated, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Yes, we might run, we might do, we might be satisfied in it. As Paul would say in Romans 10, of Israel, his people, they going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness. There was a time when Paul didn't himself, and then there was a time that he did, was subdued, was stopped, was changed. And now Paul could say, therefore, being justified by faith. We have mentioned the first part of the third chapter speaks of our sin. The last part of the third chapter speaks of the wonderful message of the gospel, probably somewhat objectively, when it says the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And then, in the fourth chapter, Paul gives the examples of Abraham and David. He also asks the question concerning Abraham. Was he blessed only after circumcision? And his answer was no. We say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. That was a strong issue among the Jews. a strong issue later when the Gentiles were given the gospel and they believed it, and the Jews would go around trying to get those Gentile churches to be circumcised. They did that at Galatia, and they even bewitched the people at Galatia, tried to bring them back under works, tried to bring them back where Paul gave warning. He said, if you are circumcised, you are debtor to keep the whole law. Not by faith alone. Sometimes it's works alone. Sometimes it's a mixture of works and faith, as man would have it and man would teach it. But God has it as by faith alone. Alone in another. Alone through the righteous one. And again, Romans 10, where Paul says they have not submitted unto God's righteousness, Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. What do we have? Again, verse 5, ungodliness. Verse 8, sinners. Verse 10, enemies. That's what we have to bring. What do enemies do? Fight until they're subdued. Only God subdues us, thankfully, not in death. Not just taking us prisoner, but changing us. As already he said by the pen of the psalmist 1,000 years before Christ came, thy people will be willing in the day of thy power. Paul was suddenly taken from being an enemy, a persecutor, to whom being subdued. Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? Changed, as he could write to others later and say, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yes, as with the Corinthians, they were still babes, but they were new. They had now ears to hear the word of God. Sometimes there was struggling. Sometimes there was pride. But the word of God overcame, even as it did them. Not only when Paul was there the first time, but he wrote in the letter, and in the second letter he could write how they repented. And we need that in the church today. We need in the church, in so many ways, more than I can tell you now, repentance toward God. And only then will we rightly know our need of faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ and be able to say with Paul, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through myself, not through my family, not through my church. Through Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise